Welcome to the After Show podcast. I am Jason Rance. That is producer Tom. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope everyone had a wonderful 3-day weekend. Over the weekend, I actually got the opportunity to give a speech to the Republicans in Washington's 30th district. That includes Federal Way, Milton, the gem of Pierce County, Des Moines, that general area. And it was a lot of fun. And I decided to secretly record my speech on my cell phone as I delivered it. And for those of you who weren't able to attend, which is the vast majority of the people who are listening, you will get to listen to my full speech. Not the best microphone quality, but it's good considering, you know, I was just using a cell phone. You'll get to hear that right after this quick commercial break.
Although I did just get an alert from my Word of the Day app, Quiescent, I'm going to try to weave it into the speech at some point today because that's how I roll. It's interesting because I saw on the brochure for tonight that Keep Seattle policies sort of in Seattle because they don't really work. And the funny thing is they don't work in Seattle either. And yet that's kind of where the state of Washington seems to be going. And I normally give these speeches to high school kids and college students. So I'm taking out all the Shawn Mendes remarks. I'll put in John Fogerty. I don't quite know. But usually when I talk to the kids, I give them a little bit more of a sort of cheerful speech. But the truth is, because I'm talking to adults who know better, we shouldn't kid ourselves, right? We can't kid ourselves. Republicans in Western Washington are becoming rare. Every single election we have, they're becoming even more rare. Or at least that's how it feels. I think part of that is because of King County and how King County is growing and how King County is bringing in a whole bunch of younger people who are millennials, who are not as evolved and smart as me, who tend to vote for progressives. And we have to understand that. We have to take a hard look at what happened in this last midterm election, not just in Washington State, but really across the country. And we have to have some sort of honest conversations about why did that just happen? And we can make a lot of excuses, right? We can say, we just didn't get out the vote. It's hard. Midterm elections are hard. We can also say, look, President Trump maybe hurt in a lot of districts. In fact, he hurt in a lot of districts. We can say maybe we had some weak incumbents. Maybe we had some incumbents that we didn't get enough behind. All of these are valid. But the fact is, it's probably a combination of all those things, which means the folks in this room and the people that we talk to on a regular basis, we need to rethink our strategy. And I'm saying, for me, two things that I think we need to work on. And I don't think they're going to come as a surprise to anybody here, especially the people here. But sometimes we have to remind ourselves about what we need to do. And number one is kind of have to embrace people who are moderates while pushing away some of the fringes that make us look bad, that make it harder for people to get behind us. And number two is we got to get even more involved. Now, I know it's somewhat ironic that I'm saying that here. It's going to make sense in a bit. Because the last election had some major consequences for Washington State. I think about the virtue signaling that goes on, and that kind of bothers me the most. There's certainly a lot of policies that are going to be changed that are going to impact everybody, but I want to talk just briefly about the virtue signaling. Because there are some progressives who like to tell us that they're more evolved than we are, that they're smarter than us, that they're better people than us, and they're no more evolved than us. They're no more smart. They're no more giving. They don't care about their communities more than you do. We all do. And I don't like to demonize the other side. And so I generally look at the other side and I say, they just have a different way about approaching some of the problems that we have. But as much as I don't want to demonize, I will be honest, sometimes people say things that kind of annoy me. And I looked earlier today at the website for Senator Clara Wilson, Democrat from Auburn. I'm sure she's a wonderful lady, including her glasses or me. There's a lot of virtue signaling on her website, and it kind of annoys me. Because I just pulled from her website. She says it's a safe place. It's like, oh, well, that's cool. It's a safe place specifically for Clara Wilson. That generally means an echo chamber of virtue signaling. Generally means people who think like me are welcome here. And I just pulled that. She says her from her website, her office is free of hate, division, stereotypes, presumptions, labels, and other societal constructs that exclude or marginalize people, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Those, I think, are the microaggressions. So it's a place where people are welcome and respected regardless of gender, sexual preference, ethnicity, race, preferred identification, immigration status, age, religion, or country of origin. And I was thinking, okay, that's a laundry list of things that are safe in her office. And one of the things that wasn't mentioned was ideological diversity, ideological perspectives. So I'm wondering if she represents Republicans the way that she represents people whose immigration status she's not particularly curious about. And this is the kind of virtue signaling that makes me mad, but I suppose it's well-intentioned, right? She's a good person who wants to be inclusive. Awesome. Then I look at some of the policies that are being discussed that are likely going to be passed, and then it goes from virtue signaling to, oh, this actually impacts our lives. This is not necessarily good for our communities. And some of these bills are just flat alarming. And some of these bills, I think, even the people who are in the know, people who follow the news, people who talk about the news literally for a living, we're missing some of these things. And for me, you know, some of this is all subjective, right? Reuven Carlisle, the state senator from Seattle. I love Reuven, friend of mine, both Jewish. We have that connection. That's kind of it. Because politically, we disagree on a lot. And he's got a bill to ban the death penalty. And I don't support that ban. I certainly see the other side. I get the arguments. And part of the argument tends to use misleading data, data that suggests, for example, that there's a racial disparity having to do with who gets the death penalty. And yeah, there is, but they don't explain the why. They don't give you any of the context. And I think context is incredibly important, especially when we talk about some of the issues that are facing this state, this country, right? Having to look at the root causes. They want you to think that because the system is racist, we have more African-Americans or Latinos who are getting the death penalty instead of straight white dudes who are wealthy. And they don't give you the socioeconomic realities of the people who are on death row. They don't tell you that when you're low income, you have a higher likelihood of interacting with the police, because when you live in an area that is low income, there tends to be more crime, which puts you in front of a cop more often. And so you have more interactions with officers. They don't give you some of the context. They don't point out that the white guy who didn't get death penalty for the exact same crime doesn't have a whole bunch of priors. And sometimes that context is incredibly important. Now, maybe with the data in place, the conversation would be a little bit different. And that's what I do in my radio show. I try to give you the data. I try to give you the story behind the talking points that we're seeing. But you know why they don't use the data, right? It has nothing to do with the data not being on their side. I think the emotional argument is more powerful than data. I think sometimes Republicans make the mistake of just talking about data. Data is incredibly important. Data sets the stage and the context, but we also have to speak about the emotional response to this. Democrats are really good at that. Republicans sometimes are really, really good at that. Donald Trump is really good at that. You may not like some of the policies or the things that he says, but when it comes to delivering an emotional argument, he's very, very good at that. I wish he would have a little bit more facts on his side, but he's the president. So it was successful. But maybe it doesn't matter, because the next point the left makes will then say, well, the death penalty doesn't really work anyway. It's not a disincentive to people to commit crimes. We've been doing this for a long time. I certainly can't give you the data that suggests the death penalty is a disincentive, because I don't know of anyone who's out there who says, I would have killed my neighbor had it not been for that death penalty, so I beat him up instead. They tend to not talk like that. And so it's kind of hard sometimes to make the data connection. Another bill that's being discussed right now that I think is kind of interesting, I actually find myself more on the side of passing it than not. It's from Marco Elias. He was on the show the other day, Democrat from Linwood. Nice guy again. He wants to raise the fines for repeat carpool offenders. And the third time you violate the carpool lane rule, you get hit with a $750 ticket. And he got mad rightfully, I think, that people weren't following the law. Even when I drive, I don't own a car. I take the station vehicle every once in a while. It kind of annoys me when people don't follow the rules. But I was thinking about this on the ride over here, actually. And I thought to myself, well, number one, $750 ticket is a disincentive to ride in the carpool lane. But a death penalty apparently is not a disincentive to not commit a crime. I thought it was kind of weird. But as I was doing the interview with him, in the back of my mind, I kept saying, well, why are we asking ourselves why people are repeat carpool offenders? I mean, it's a simple rule, but why do people keep violating the law? Traffic is bad, right? I mean, we've got a situation right now where people are so desperate to get home, to get to work on time, they're willing to pay upwards of $10 each way on the express toll lanes between Linwood and Bellevue, and we're kind of okay with that? We had the ETL's system where the lawmakers set up their own benchmarks where you have to make enough money to pay for it, which they've done really, really well at. Weird. And number two, during the drive times, you have to get 45 miles per hour or more 90% of the time. Now, they didn't hit that benchmark. Now, the law actually said they had to get rid of ETLs. Guess what they're doing? It's a bill that was just introduced. It's a bill that's likely going to get passed, and they're trying to get it through in a somewhat disingenuous way. They're changing the benchmarks. Now, when we have benchmarks that we have to hit, whether we're talking about our jobs or our personal lives, we generally don't get to change the rules at the last minute after we've already failed, but that's what some of the Democrats want to do. And then there's some bills that are just bad for business, bad for small business owners in particular. Karen Kaiser, the Democrat from Des Moines, who I know you guys are all familiar with, she tried to sneak through this horrible bill that would have banned booth rentals for hairstylists, barbers, and estheticians. And it would have meant them paying higher taxes on top of not being able to rent out the space. And I didn't know about this. I then learned on my Instagram stories, because I follow my barbers, they were really pissed off. You do not piss off my barbers. The only thing I care about is my hair. And when they're upset, it kind of makes me upset. And I did some research. And I guess part of the reason that Karen Kaiser gave to push this bill was one person, one business owner of a salon made the complaint. One person made the complaint to her. And basically said that there's an unfair business advantage to the people who are booth rentals. Now, I don't buy that. But it was one person, who I don't even think was a constituent of hers. One person. There are a lot of one persons in this room. There's a lot. There are a lot of one persons who disagree with this bill. And what did they do? They stood up and they spoke together and they didn't really get organized at first, but then they found themselves organized and all of a sudden they get rid of this bill. I mean, I'm one person. I have a lot of one persons in my audience. And when we noticed Senator Ann Rivers, the Republican, was signed on to this bill, this one person called her out. And then I got a lot of other one persons calling her out, calling her office. And then within 24 hours, we saw a post on her Facebook page that said, I'm actually rethinking this bill. And then 2 days later, she was on my show saying, I do not support this bill, and here's why. And so one person is incredibly meaningful. How many here personally call or email their reps on a semi-regular basis? Hands up. Okay, now every single person's hand should be up. I mean, that's a reality. You have to be engaged. Now, the people who had their hands up, put your hands up one more time, please. How many of the people who have their hands up did you call two times, three times, four times? Keep your hands up if you've done that. If not, okay, maybe. How many of the people whose hands are up contacted their neighbors, their friends, their family members, the kids who are voting age of their family members to also vote? We got one. One person. Two people. I was excited to say two, but I'd rather be excited to say like 90. Two is not enough. Have all of you heard of bad bills, in your opinion, that are being considered right now? I'm assuming everyone, right? Just shout some out. All of them? Not all of them. Come on. Not every single bill. But I know that we're all aware of some bills that we don't think are good. And I know a lot of Democrats and Republicans who serve in Olympia, and I talk to them on a regular basis, sometimes on the air. Usually the Democrats don't like to come on, man. But sometimes they do. And one thing is pretty obvious from having these conversations with them. They hate the one person who calls them incessantly. They hate the one person who tells their friends or family members or neighbors or exes awkward conversation. To call their offices, to email their offices, to get a little bit more engaged, go on Twitter, go on Facebook, call them out. They don't like that. And I guarantee you that there's more of you than there are of the progressive side that seem really, really loud and big, but that's not really what they are. They're loud and obnoxious and kind of crazy sometimes, but they use social media to make it seem like they have way more numbers than they actually do. I'm confident in saying that there are more average people out there who don't believe some of the crazy progressive bills that are being passed. And they're being passed because not enough of the normal people who have jobs, who can't show up to a county council meeting at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon. There are more of you, but if you got a little bit more organized, a little bit more engaged. And it's not just what's happening in Olympia, right? We saw this last week, it was a ridiculous story, out in the city of Edmonds. And that's where they have the baker of the... God bless this guy, but his name of the bakery is the Edmonds Bakery. I feel like he could have put a little bit more pizzazz into that name, but he put out a Build That Wall cookie. One woman was triggered by this cookie. Imagine being someone triggered by a cookie. But she was loud in voice. That was one person, and all of a sudden, people started to rain criticism on this baker who originally did it as a joke. And then more people started to say, wait, it's just a cookie. It wasn't a gluten-free cookie, but it was just a cookie. Maybe we should all calm down. And some folks in the city of Edmonds didn't like that. In fact, their diversity commission put out a statement that was up on their Facebook page. We found out about it, posted on Monday, Tuesday morning. And they called out this baker, not by name, but they called out this baker with the intent of shaming him for actually having a political opinion. I pulled the language. I'm just going to read the first two sentences. A couple weeks ago, our community was negatively impacted by a business owner's choice to spread a divisive and for some hurtful message. While we're aware that speech is protected by our First Amendment, words have consequences. And so think about what they decided to do. They decided an arm of a government agency to criticize a baker who's the only one who was in the news in the city of Edmonds. They called them out because they didn't like their political message. Think about the message that sent. Now, again, a whole bunch of one person decided to speak up. We were one of them. We gave out the phone number of the Diversity Commission. All of a sudden, 2 days later, they put out another Facebook page post walking back the language. They lied about it. I mean, they lied about it. They said, we never intended to directly target one individual. But of course, that's exactly what it ended up being. It is our duty to fight these battles, even though we think, okay, if I make one tweet, is it really going to matter? If I make one phone call, is it going to make a difference? The answer is yes. So make sure that you are engaged. And beyond that, let's talk about how we treat our own. Because we also need to make sure that we're not creating an echo chamber. I talked to some folks on the right who are hardcore, ardent Trump supporters. Awesome. It is okay to not be a Trump supporter. You can still be a conservative and be uncomfortable with some of the things that Donald Trump says, some of the things he does. It's okay. And we have to embrace those people. I hate when someone calls someone else a rhino, except Jeff Flake. I don't really like him. But beyond that, you know, we say we're a rhino, Republican name only. I would rather have a Republican who votes on issues that I care about 80% of the time with me than the Democrat who maybe gets 10% of the votes right. And so I'm thinking about how we treat people on our own side. We have to be the party of open ideas. Otherwise, we end up just becoming rabid progressives who, if you don't toe the line, if you're not furthest to the left, then you're not part of them. That's going to destroy their movement and party. Let's make sure that that doesn't happen on our end. Let's be open, but also be smart enough not to invite some of the fringe elements in, just because they do call themselves conservatives. Let's not give James Alsup over in Whitman County, that precinct committee head. Let's not give someone who kind of identifies as a white nationalist, even though he says he doesn't, let's not invite those people to the party. Let's not sit silent if Trump says something that we all know is wrong, but we kind of don't want to jump on him because the left is already doing it. But we cannot sit silent on stuff like this and then call out Ilhan Omar for her anti-Semitism. I have to be consistent. So I'm going to go after the people who say stupid things or racist things or sexist things so that when someone on the left does it, especially I'm a Jew. When I see some of the stuff coming from Representative Omar's Twitter feed, which is very Trump-esque in a lot of ways, the way she uses it, I get pissed off and I want to be able to call that out and be consistent so that when Pramila Jayapal comes on my radio show, the congresswoman from Seattle who's a Democrat and says, you're not consistent, they're like, the hell I'm not. I am absolutely consistent. When, I forget his name, Joel Connolly, the PI columnist says, well, you didn't call out Kevin McCarthy this one time. I go, no, I did. In fact, here's a link to the show which I talked about it. Now it's your turn. Now you go after Omar. Of course, they're not going to do that. We have to be consistent, and we have to make the right ally. That's the other thing I think that we don't do as well as we should. Not all of us. Some of us. Guy Palumbo is a Democrat from Maltby. He's a normal guy. He likes normal things. He is on the wrong side of some issues to all of us, but he's on the right side of a lot of issues, like going after ETLs. He's someone who's incredibly pro-business. He happens to have a D next to his name. So let's make sure, though, when he comes up with a good idea and a good position, we back him. And we're that one person who says, as a Republican, yeah, I kind of like what you're doing. Let's say when Steve Hobbs out in Lake Stevens comes up with the 1 out of 10 things that I'm actually going to support, let's make sure we give him props because he's doing what Seattle isn't doing, which is trying to clean up the homeless encampments on the on and off ramps of our freeways. Good for him. I don't hear Democrats often take that position. And so how many in here have called a Democrat for pushing a bill that they support? The people who raised their hands before complaining about stuff, which I've done. How many of you called up and said, you know what, thank you for supporting this bill that, frankly, as a Republican, I didn't think you were going to support, but good on you. Anybody?
I have never seen
one
do that.
Well, so I heard someone say, you've never seen someone do that. With respect, you got to look a little bit harder then.
Yeah.
Because they are taking positions. There are bipartisan bills that get pushed through. So, you know, we have to have that general awareness, and we have to be able to say thank you for that. Treat them well. So when you have a position that's different than theirs, they're going to be a little bit more open to hearing your side. I know Guy Palumbo personally. I tell him things that I don't like that he supports, and he actually listens. Now, is that going to change his vote? No. But if a lot of people end up doing that, then maybe it does. Maybe it lets him think about things a little bit differently. So some takeaways. Be engaged. Be more engaged. Everyone in here is already engaged because most people aren't showing up to events like this. They're not donating to the party. That's okay. But you have to get in their ears. You have to find out what the bad bills are before they get enough momentum so that they become laws. You have to stay engaged and read what the other side is putting out there. Who goes to the stranger every once in a while? I mean, it's a little bit of a self-hating event for me to read some of their stuff, and I cry a little bit once I get through some of the blogs, but it's important to hear what their positions are because they're really active. They're way more active in King County, for example, than the Republicans are, and I know that there are at least 17 of us in King County. It is about it, but there are a lot of independents. There are a lot of Amazon employees who kind of don't really know what's going on, and they're Democrats from outside of Washington and outside of Seattle. They're not Seattle Democrats, but sometimes they just see a D next to someone's name, and because they're not that engaged, because you guys are not in their ears, telling them, whoa, are you sure you want to support this? Because that Amazon head tax came from the crazy progressives. Not from a Republican, not even from a moderate Democrat. You got to get in their ears. You got to read Matt Driscoll's silly column. You have to look at what's going on in the world. And of course, you also have to
tune into KTTA.
Because, you know, what we try to do and what I try to do and what Saul Spadia Mornings tries to do is tell you about some of the bad bills that are out there, telling you about the good bills that are out there that you need to support. You need to support your fellow conservatives. That's another takeaway I hope we get from this. Rid ourselves of the fringes in the process, please. And do more than just tweet or complain on Facebook or maybe just complain to a spouse. pick up the phone and call, because your voice matters way more than you actually think. We need to be better at organizing and mobilizing. Just because conservatives don't hold the House or the Senate or the governor's mansion yet doesn't mean that you guys don't have a lot of power. We have to awaken a quiescent populace. I said I would move that word into my speech. We have to do that. Thank you.